United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest is Reverend Peter Kuhn, Director of Spiritual Care and Education for WellSpan Health. His ACBE supervisor training is from Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He is a board-certified chaplain. He studied theology at the University of Heidelberg and is ordained in the Evangelische Kirche im Rheinland, with dual standing in the United Church of Christ in the United States. Peter, welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
Before we talk a little bit about what it's been like in the first weeks of the COVID epidemic in South Central Pennsylvania, could you tell us a bit about the role of spiritual care and education in healthcare?
Sure. So spiritual care and education for WellSpan Health is part of the 8 healing dimensions of WellSpan, the spiritual healing dimension, next to all the other physical, emotional, financial, psychological, economical, and others. We have chaplains in all of our hospitals in WellSpan. We have 8 hospitals, and each hospital has chaplains that are employed. And we are providing spiritual care for families, for patients, of course, and for staff. We also have an educational program called Clinical Pastoral Education, CPE, which is accredited by the Association of Clinical Pastoral Education in Atlanta, Georgia, and also recognized by the Department of Education as a training, as a postgraduate training program. We have those CPE sites at York Hospital in York, Pennsylvania, and also at Gettysburg Hospital in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
And how have things been going, or how have, maybe you should put that in a better way. Could you just say some examples of some of the changes everyone at WellSpan, as across the country, across the world, has been adapting, and even changes that you made might be changing tomorrow? But what are some things that you've done?
So the last 4 or 5 weeks have been full of changes, probably more changes than we have made in the last 3 years. And it's just amazing how quickly these changes had to happen, and we have put them in place thanks to working for an institution that is really very effective and efficient when it comes to making changes that need to be made. So we have put all our educational programs on online education. All our CPE groups meet online through Zoom or Teams or Skype, depending on the number of people involved and the means they have to join us. All our didactics, IPGs, verbatim conferences, all our educational activities are online. And so are most of our staff meetings for the chaplains in the different 8 hospitals. And that has been going surprisingly well and surprisingly efficient. Some of the anxieties that we had as chaplains that we would lose some of our directness or some of our direct contact with each other in the training, certainly it is different than when you sit with people in the same room, but thanks to Zoom and thanks to Teams, we can basically have a good substitute for that experience.
At least for short term.
At least for the short term, yes, certainly. But I think we really kind of will consider this now more in the training, because we also have different locations. And of course, we had video conferencing before the COVID-19 crisis started, but we had not used it as much, especially for staff meetings, but also not as much for education. Also, our chaplain work, our actual work has changed quite a bit. We are doing less face-to-face visits because we do not want to expose our patients we want to expose them to as at least people as possible, so that they stay healthy among there, and that they don't get infected with the virus. So we do a lot of our visits through the phone, through telephone services, but also through Skype and iPads where we produce through Skype and Zoom groups, like in Behavioral Health in Philhaven, and also where we provide worship services through electronic media. And that has been going quite well too. It's not the same as being in a room, but sometimes when you are only relying on your words and the intonation of your voice, other things become more important and you listen more carefully. Mm. Maybe you listen even more generally when this happens. So we have done a lot of visits in our different hospitals now on the phone. And fortunately, most patients have phones in their rooms, so we can reach them via the telephone. In emergencies, we still do visits with patients, and especially with family members and staff, especially in end-of-life situations, in cardiac arrest situations where life and death is at stake, and also in situations where the clinical staff calls us for specific counseling needs, like in a perinatal loss or in a shooting victim that is quite young. So in these cases, we still go there face-to-face. We don our protective personal equipment, PPE, just today we had a picture of one of our chaplains going with full PPE into a room in an intensive care unit, not to a COVID-19 patient, but as you know, Katie, we don't know all the patients that might be infected with COVID, although in our hospitals we are pretty safe around that because they all get tested before they're admitted as patients.
Okay. And there's also a screening for employees coming in on their shifts.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. All the employees are screened before they move into any hospital building in Wildspan every day. And we all wear masks at least in the last 2 or 2.5 weeks.
And so York is a level one trauma center, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just one example of the sites that are part of the system. But I think you had mentioned something about the floors or being broken up so that they could be sort of prayed for in the community, or?
Yeah, that's one of the examples of how we have the community involved. We had a lot of echo and a lot of support, and we have a lot of support from many communities, and especially also faith communities. And they have, from the beginning, been very supportive and very proactive in wanting to show their solidarity and their support in prayer, in their faith, with their community resources. So they have given masks to Wellspan, but they also pray for Wellspan. So one special project that we have at Chambersburg Hospital in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, the manager there has linked certain units with certain congregations that pray especially for that unit in the hospital. Yeah. So for example, let's say St. Mark's Lutheran Church prays for the intensive care unit at Chambersburg Hospital. We also have other and several other support ways of supporting congregations. Actually, we have a meeting on Monday with a group of stakeholders representing the 1,500 faith communities that are in the area that Wellspan is present. And we have about 30 of them that we are meeting with on the phone conference on Monday to find out how we can be supportive of faith communities and to give faith communities ideas how they can be supportive of us. Mm-hmm. So another example is that we make calls to faith communities when they have patients in the hospital so that the patients can be called by their pastors mm-hmm. and keep that very important and very significant connection that is so important, especially in these times of COVID-19.
And if you could also maybe say something about clinical pastoral education for people who aren't quite as familiar with it, that it covers basically all faiths and no faith. Is that a correct way to say it? Or
yeah, so clinical pastoral education,
because these are secular settings, secular institutional settings.
Sure, yeah. Yes, we are not a faith-based hospital. We are a not-for-profit private company that is very, very connected to the community. So WellSpan had a long commitment to clinical pastoral education since the 70s, since 1972, when Jim Murr, Reverend Jim Murr, started the program, and then it went to Reverend Ted Trout Lannon, and now we have about 24 chaplains in the in our whole hospitals. But the CPE is really a method of training, of postgraduate training, that was developed in the 20s of the last century, when people realized, when seminarians came from their seminaries to become pastors in churches, they oftentimes didn't have the practice to deal with difficult situations of crisis, of personal hardship, of really difficult, complex personal and family situations, especially with people that are sick in the hospital that are dying. So they developed, actually a physician and a chaplain developed a program together that was based really on the training of medical students when they are sitting in an auditorium and have a case that they're looking at. We are looking at patients through verbatims, through conversations that we have with patients that we bring back to a group of people, and then we receive feedback from this group of people.
Is this the action reflection?
That is action reflection action model is the dynamic and ingrained model of CPE. So you have an experience with a patient in a patient room, or a staff member or a family member, and then you bring your experience back, oftentimes in written form, in this verbatim form that basically lists the conversation and the situation and your feelings attached to it, and you bring it back to your group and your trainers, your teachers, which we call supervisor or no certified educators, and they look at it with you and they give you feedback about how you dealt with the situation. What did you say? What did you not say? What did you avoid? Where were your strengths? Where were your weaknesses? And of course, a lot of this has to do with who you are as a person, with your own personal story, how you have the experiences you had during your lifetime, with your own family, with communities of faith. And so this is a very intense training that is also very ingrained into the practice. Mm-hmm. So we have action, we go into reflection with a group, with ourselves, with trainers, and then we go back into action and do it again. And hopefully we do it more skilled and more integrated than we did it before. And that's the model of CPE. And CPE is, of course, the chaplain's ministry generally is offered to all people of faith or no faith, of all religions, of all Christian denominations, but also of all world religions, or of what people believe. And we have, as you probably know, an increasing number of people that have no formal religious connection, but that people that really have their own faith and have their own way of meaning making. Mm-hmm. And we also certainly attend to those people.
And it's probably sometimes helpful to have someone on staff that is, there's a kind of neutral quality to not being a medical person. I mean, you're in that setting, but I expect that once in a while it might be helpful to have a sort of neutral presence to talk to. And you're also kind of the only one that someone can say no to. And I expect that that's sometimes also helpful, right? You can't, yes. The other staff that's coming into the room, you can't say, no, I don't want to see you right now.
Well, you can, but you probably won't be very successful because, of course, they have important things to do. We very much appreciate our staff and our teams, and we are so glad to be part of this team and to be oftentimes called in as a resource. But you're right, Katie. For chaplains, probably the specific or the special thing of our role is that we don't really bring an agenda, that we are really there to listen mm-hmm. to the patient's story, to the patient's needs, to the patient's feelings, and that we are really open and give them space to find out where they are mm-hmm. And to sit with them, some of our students to sit with them in the pit and sit with them where they are, oftentimes in their suffering, but sometimes also in their resolve. And it's always surprising how much spiritual life patients have and bring, and how much strength and courage they bring to their situations. So yes, we have a very specific role in the healthcare system. A lot of our colleagues have very have very significant and very scheduled agendas, and sometimes have some pressure of time. We normally have time, and we can give patients the time they need to find out where they are at and what they need and who they are.
Mm-hmm. And I can remember you one time told a story too about sometimes the person in a particular context that might be in need of a conversation isn't the patient. One time you were talking about a sibling of a
yes,
child, yeah,
yes,
who was
yes.
playing video games. Do you want to just really briefly say that?
Yes.
That probably happens more than you would expect.
Yeah, so oftentimes the people in need are not necessarily only the patients, but oftentimes also the family members. And that's why we train our chaplains also in system and family theory, so that they understand that every patient is also part of a very intimate, smaller system and also a larger system. And so oftentimes we also encounter families, not so much right now with the COVID-19 crisis, because a lot of family members are not allowed in the hospital, which makes it for patients, of course, more difficult.
That's really
because
rough,
there's this danger of isolation. And we try to counteract that with, you know, regular visits and with phone calls to the patients. But you're right, in normal times, we have a lot of work. Also, we work oftentimes with families, especially if the patient is in treatment, especially in the emergency room, if the patient's in the trauma bay. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the work of the chaplain is with the family. Mm-hmm. And as you know, families can be very complex and very helpful systems. And everybody in the family system has a different need. And so the chaplain needs to be quite a trained person to understand the different needs of the family members considering the patient. And oftentimes also we have patients who are sedated and who are not able to answer, especially in our intensive care units.
Sure.
They're intubated. And sometimes then the family member is our first person that we work with. We also understand that when the patient goes home, it is so important that they go home to a family system and to a family that is supportive as well. So we consider working with the family really indirectly working with the patient.
Yeah.
Or maybe very directly.
Yeah. And so I think in this one situation, you ended up playing like video games with this.
Yes, and this was in our pediatric unit. And I played, I wanted to visit with the patient, but the patient didn't really want to visit, but her
the
brother.
The patient was like a pro, right? Like,
yes.
I've got this.
But the brother wanted to play video games, and the parents had already played with him it felt like 32 hours. So it was a welcomed change that the chaplain came in, and so the chaplain played video games for the next hour or so and lost 25 games and felt very bad about it, but maybe that was my job at that moment.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else to share too? You've talked a bit about what's happening in this system here in South Central Pennsylvania. Have you been in contact with any other like colleagues around the country? Or, I mean, certainly there have been, you know, a lot of news articles about healthcare employees across the board, and some of those have also addressed the sort of daily work of chaplains. But is there anything else at the moment as this is unfolding? Is there anything else that you have sort of heard about or noticed that mm-hmm. that you have mm-hmm. found interesting, just in the sort of spiritual care?
Sure.
World in general?
Well, of course, we're always connected with our colleagues through ACPE, through our accrediting body for the educational part, but also through APC and other organizations like NACC and other accrediting organizations for chaplains. We have our annual meetings, our annual trainings, our annual ways of doing continuous education. But of course, the COVID crisis has pushed us to be even more in touch. And this has been really a great experience that across the country, we are in a very similar boat, and we realize that we are right now have a very specific task in this health crisis, in this crisis of the country, and really all over the world. And so I have been in touch with colleagues across the country, from New York City, where the situation, of course, as you know, is very critical, mm-hmm. and where a lot of the chaplains are still present in the hospitals and especially attend to staff right now and also to patients. And some of them have actually been infected with COVID-19, mm-hmm. but are still working either from home, mostly from home, to keep up connection with patients. And you can only imagine if they have COVID-19 themselves and they talk to a COVID-19 patient in a hospital, how much they can understand their situation, their anxieties and fears and concerns. So it has been very helpful through ACPE and our other accrediting bodies to be connected to colleagues through video conferencing, through extra meetings, to find out what's going on, to hear from others, to share with others, to get new ideas. And it's also amazing, Katie, how creative this crisis has made people, has made professionals. All of a sudden, we need to think outside of the box. We cannot do things as we have done them all along. And so it has been just amazing how creative people have become, not only chaplains, also in other fields, in the medical field, in the hospital field. But this has been really very encouraging. And I just got a call from a colleague today, just asking how are you doing with all of this? How are you holding up? Mm-hmm. And so these calls have become much more frequent. Mm-hmm. That has been really a big support.
Great. So, and do you have any sort of final word, anything to, I mean, there's a lot of fear right now too. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things too that that chaplains, one of the reasons that the training is so intense too is that you've got your own, whatever your personal situation is, mm-hmm. and then your role as a chaplain or as an educator. And yeah, I don't know. Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think as a chaplains, we have a lot of wonderful frontline staff that does their best right now to fight this crisis and to work with patients and help them in a very arduous process and complex process to get better. But I think we chaplains, we have a specific role, especially in our presence, that we really represent hope in a sometimes seemingly hopeless situation, that we represent, there is a larger picture, and there's some change. There will be some change, even we don't know when, and we don't know how it is coming, but there will be change at some point. But also, Katie, really, this crisis has really pushed us to see what is really worth, what really holds value in the middle of everything, what is really important in our lives. I guess a crisis always pushes us into this direction. And we chaplains, experience that like every other person. What is our life built on? What is important to us? What do we not want to lose? And and what do we want to continue in times like this? And to share that with others. We had two very moving prayer meetings in our organization that is not a church-based organization. We organized prayer meetings for the whole system where people can call in a conference number and then for just half an hour share prayers, share thoughts, share texts, share poems. And we had a high participation and a high participation not only in the people that called in but also the people that participated. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows a need to also bring out this component of healing, the spiritual component, where a lot of healing started. When you think about where did hospitals start, they really started with religious organizations.
Mm-hmm. True.
So the spiritual in the healing process is strengthened and is important, and we are glad to be part of the healing process, especially in this crisis.
Well, thank you for your time. You've been listening to The Seminary Explores I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest has been Reverend Peter Kuhn. He's Director of Spiritual Care and Education for WellSpan Health. Visit wellspan.org on the web. Also, if you're interested in learning more about the ACPE, it's acpe.edu, or the Association of Professional Chaplains is professionalchaplains.org. Thanks again for your time.
Oh, very welcome. Thank you, Katie, for having me today.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.